his body was broken for me. Oh, love beyond human expression, compassion so boundless and free. Jesus proved his great wealth of affection when his body was broken for me. For my sins and transgression, the dear Savior died on the cross, dying great agony. Nailed his hands and proved me that the spear through his side when his body was broken.
My soul shall rest. Yeah.
Rock of ages, hide thou me. defenses he, oh, the blessed rock of ages, hide thou me. Oh, rock of ages, hide thou me. No other refuge have I but thee. When life's dark veil I wander far, far from thee, then I cry, O rock of ages, hide thou me.
In the black book, Brother Keith, in the black book, the last song in the black book, we'll rest in that book.
It's in the book too.
Okay.
I believe it's 442.
Time to continue on with our worship service in the way of prayer and preaching. We welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today at Reidsville Church. We appreciate your presence and the effort that you've made to come out and be with us this morning. We are glad to have the Walker family with us this morning. Two of them said they've never been here before, and Sister Walker's been a good while since she's been here, so we're glad to have them. And as we've told them, we hope they'll feel like they're among friends and that the Lord will bless the service to where they'll be able to feel like that they've not spent their time in vain. We hope we are blessed to truly worship our God and our Savior and to have the fellowship of the saints. I've said many a time since I joined the Old Baptist Church that we have the sweetest fellowship and it's the best place that we can be this side of heaven. I truly believe that. when the Lord manifests himself among us. And he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And there's just no place like it upon earth when we can feel his presence through the blessings of the Holy Spirit. And his word is made real and dear to us, and we can have it for our very own. When he gives it to you and seals it to you, it's yours forever. Nobody can take it away from you. And it's a wonderful thing. Most of you know that I lost my wife in October. And we've not been here now for the last three meetings. And we've certainly missed coming and missed the fellowship we have here. And ever since our first coming here, I believe Brother Hilton said about 13 years ago.
Better than 15.
Can't keep up with the time. It goes so fast. I've thoroughly enjoyed the fellowship. We just don't have many members, but I've often said I'd rather have a few members in harmony and in unity than to have a house full when there's discord and disunity. So we're thankful for what we have and trust that the Lord will prosper us and keep us for his name's sake. I know we're not worthy of it ourselves, but he is. And the honor and the majesty of his name and his cause on earth is worth all that we can think or do at any time in all of our life. Today, this month, my wife and I would have been married 61 years. And we got married when we were children and grew up with our children. And our home since I was 30 years old, and I feel like the Lord did something for me. He brought me to my knees in a way, and I called upon him. And our home has been a peaceful, happy place. And when God made Adam and said, it's not good for him to dwell alone, and he made a woman for him, he did a wonderful thing. And I was very fortunate to have a woman that loved me so much. She would do anything in the world for me, waited on me hand and foot for 60 years. It's almost 61. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have somebody's love and respect and to be your closest friend that you've ever had. So my life will never be the same, but some of you have experienced the very same thing. It's something that many of us have to go through. But thank the Lord, he said, my grace is sufficient. John says, and what is it that gets the victory over the world? Even our faith. And so by faith, we can overcome the sorrows and disappointments and losses in this life, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Brother Keith, have you picked out a song? Number 74 is an opening hymn, and you may stand if you like while we sing. And after that, we'll endeavor to go to the Lord in prayer. We covet an interest in your prayers as we endeavor to lead in prayer and trust that the Lord will indict your heart with prayer, and I hopefully indict mine with it, that we might truly approach unto his great throne of grace, that we might receive grace to help in a time of need. And we're perfectly aware that the only way that a sinful person can approach the throne of God is through the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, for which we are so thankful. So sing, brethren, when you're ready.
We are
all prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from the world.
of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. May I thy consolation share till from my Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This roll of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize.
And shall
while passing
through the air, farewell,
farewell, sweet hour of prayer. We'd like to say that we're glad that Sister Mabel Haynes is with us. She's living in an assisted home, assisted living home in Eaton now. And she lost Brother Clyde. Well, I guess it's been a couple of years ago, hadn't it? Been a good while, seems like. And she doesn't get to come every meeting like she used to, and we're glad that her children were able to bring her today. Also, Sister Nancy Mosley, I've just learned she's been taking chemotherapy, and which makes you deathly sick, and we understand that she had an automobile wreck also right recently, last Sunday, and which we were so sorry to hear about. But we are thankful that, and understand nobody was seriously hurt in the wreck, and we're glad, thankful for that. I told Brother Hilton, it seems like that the worst things happens to the best people. And it's hard, things like that are a mystery to us. But yet, the Lord is able to see us through all of them, and we want to remember her. Is there any other sickness that we don't know of we need to make mention of? If not, bow with us. People complain about can't hear me. I speak kind of low, so I'll remain standing while we offer prayer. Our most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we humbly bow in thy presence, desiring to thank thee, our Father, for the wondrous love and mercy that thou hast abounded towards us through our Lord Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son and the only Savior of sinners. And we thank thee, dear Lord, for thy church that thou hast planted here in the earth. And we realize, dear Father and dear Lord, that thou hast planted it just at certain places, and that all thy dear children don't have access to the local visible church. And we thank thee, dear Lord, for the privileges that we've had of knowing thy dear people here, and living in thy local church, being able and blessed to be a partaker of the ordinances that thou hast given us in the church, representing thy death, burial, and resurrection, and thy broken body and shed blood for our sins in the supper that thou didst institute. Lord, we're thankful for thy providential grace and care. Lord, we're thankful that we're born in this wonderful country that thou hast so wonderfully blessed above all the nations of the earth. We thank you for the freedom and the prosperity that this generation we live in has enjoyed. And Lord, we're sorry for the sins and the departures of some of thy dear people because of that prosperity. And Lord, we pray that thou would continue to bless us, deliver us from our enemies who have spoken publicly that they would love to destroy us and enslave us to their religion and to their God. Lord, we pray that for thy great name's sake, thou would spare us and deliver us, that we might continue to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and according we trust to the guide that thou hast left us in thy word. And now, Lord, we pray for our rulers and our leaders and all that sit in authority, from the courthouse to the White House. We pray that thou would give them wisdom and understanding to rule in a way that will be pleasing unto thee. And now, dear Lord, once more we thank thee for the forgiveness of sins, and pray that thou would bless us this hour to truly worship thee and to praise thee in spirit, for we ask these wonderful blessings in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. We have settled on some scripture in the book of Acts, beginning with the second chapter, and we would love to read quite a few verses. And sometimes I've been told it's not profitable to read so much. But this is a discourse that the Apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. And it was a fulfillment of many scriptures in the Old Testament of what would take place after the Messiah come. This is the time of year that we celebrate his birth, even though we don't know when that was. Not given that date. We are commanded to celebrate his death, but not his birth. It was his death that redeemed us from our sins. It was his death that paid our sin debt and set us free from the wrath of God that's going to break upon this world one day, from the curse of the law, which demands perfection. And we've all broken. And it's the marvelous grace of God. And the Lord Jesus had to be born. And he came into the world. And I surely believe that he was born of a virgin. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And that the history that we have of him in the Bible is true. To every jot and tittle, I believe every bit of it. I can remember when it didn't, I wouldn't say I didn't believe it. I was brought up in church and taught it all my life, but I believed it just like I believed that George Washington was the father and the first president of our country. I was taught all of that, and I believe that. I still believe it. I've never seen him, and I couldn't prove it to you, but I believe it. And I believe that there was a man named Jesus. I'd been taught that all of my life. But when I was 30 years old, if not deceived, the Lord brought me to the place that I called upon him. I needed help. And I needed it bad. And from that day to this day, I believe that there was a man named Jesus Christ who died for sinners. He just didn't live like any other man, but he was sent from God. and he was sent on a mission. He came down here under covenant bonds to fulfill the terms of the everlasting covenant. He did not fail. He did not offer himself to man. He did not try to save people. He came down here under contract to redeem his people from their sins. And I certainly believe he did that. And he did it so well, to the satisfaction of his Father, that he raised him from the dead. And not only did he raise him from the dead, but he's ascended back to the right hand of the Father. And now all principalities and powers and dominions and peoples and nations of the earth are given into his hand. And one day he will judge the nations of the earth in righteousness. Now we'll forget one day, my daddy was bad to cuss, a curse. And my mother lived with me for 7 years after he died. And one day she said, Merle, that's my middle name, she said, do you reckon John was all right? And she was thinking about my daddy, whose name was John. And I went over and sat down on the footstool in front of her chair. She was hard of hearing. And I told her that one day when I was in the hospital, that my daddy told me that Jesus was a wonderful Savior to him. And I said, I'll have to take him for his word. But I said, irregardless, Mama, of what we think, I said, you can count on one thing, that Daddy and you and me are in the hands of our Lord Jesus. And what he does is going to be right. And if we're his, we're going to be satisfied with it. Whatever he does will be right. You can count on it. And I've relied on that. We've lost a daughter, and I've lost my wife. And there's ups and downs for all of us in this life. But when we are convinced and have the faith of God's elect, we're satisfied that what he does will be right and is right. And we can rest in that. He said, in the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And he has. And we are so thankful that we do believe that. The Lord Jesus said, if any man glory, let him glory in this, that he understands and he knoweth me. And beloved, when you see the people in this world that serve what they call God, other by some person than Jesus Christ, and you see the hatred and the vengeance by which they are motivated, it makes me want to fall down and thank God that I know his Son, Jesus Christ, and the mercy and the grace that he displayed, and if not deceived, has planted in my own heart to a certain degree. To where once I lived for myself, now I believe I have some compassion on the ignorant and the unlearned and the unfortunate in this world. And it's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. So we want to start reading here. It's a wonderful text, a wonderful story, and it's the beginning of the Gentile church. We consider that God, just in a public capacity now, God has a people in every tongue, every tribe, every nation on the face of the earth, always has had, whether they've heard the gospel or whether not. He has his people, he knows them. He's the good shepherd, they're his sheep, they hear his voice, and they know him. And I'm convinced of that. But the visible, local visible church has just been in select places throughout the earth that the Lord has blessed it to be. And just few in comparison to the numbers of people in the earth have ever been blessed to hear the gospel and believe the gospel. Lots heard the gospel but don't believe it. Untold millions has never heard it, but millions have heard it and still don't believe it. And to hear the gospel and believe the gospel and be moved by it, to regulate your life according to the dictates of it, is a wonderful blessing indeed. And we're forever so grateful to our wonderful Savior that if not deceived in our hearts, we understand and know Him. In the 14th verse of the second chapter of Acts, we begin, and this is the day of Pentecost that had been promised. They were all in the upper room. They were all there when the place was filled with the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And there were cloven tongues of fire that appeared to seat on each one of them there. And the apostles began to speak and to preach. And there were 17 nations there that they, following that event, began to preach to the great multitudes that came to Jerusalem. And each one of them, I believe it's 17 different nations listed here, understood in their own tongue these apostles as they were preaching. And Peter is a spokesman for them. And they, some said, well, these people are drunk on wine to the way this is being carried out. And Peter stood up and said, for Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, which would be 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad moreover. Also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because I will not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord saith unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same